The Bible Study Podcast, episode 318. Today's Bible Study Podcast is a sermon on the calling of Abraham. Welcome to the Bible Study Podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little different. Most of this episode is going to be a sermon that I gave just this last Sunday at my home church, which is Bethel Lutheran Church in Cupertino. Before we get into that, though, I'm going to read you the two lessons that we used that the sermon was based on, since that wouldn't be included in the sermon recording. The Old Testament lesson was Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The New Testament lesson was Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them.
Good morning. I'm Chris Christensen. I'll be doing the sermon this morning, and I say that because the last time I preached in November, there was some confusion. I happened to be lecturer that day, and I read the lessons and then walked out here and started giving a sermon, and I'm afraid some people thought I had overstepped the bounds of being a lecturer. Or that this might be some new requirement to be a lector, which may have scared a few of you off. And so I thank Pastor Gabi for giving me the opportunity to preach again this Sunday. In our Old Testament lesson, which is what we're going to focus on today, Abram has a problem. And I say Abram, but you know, like me, you probably want to say Abraham. But Abram is not yet Abraham, the father of many nations. His wife, Sarai, is not yet Sarah. And Abram is not yet the father of many nations. In fact, Abram is not the father of anybody. And that's his problem. And you heard that in the Old Testament lesson as he's talking to God when God comes to him in a vision. And you may have sensed that there's a little frustration with Abram because it's not an issue of him not having a son, not having a child. It's an issue of him continuing to not have a child. Because this is not the first time they talked. If we go back three chapters in Genesis, we get the calling of Abram. He was in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is modern-day Babylon or Iraq. And he was called out by God, and God said, Come, Abraham, come to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a mighty nation. That was at the time of our story here in Genesis 15, 24 years ago. At the time of his calling, he was 75. He is now 99 years old. And it looks like to him, this promise has not been fulfilled. And why does it look like to him this promise has not been fulfilled? because this promise has not been fulfilled. Okay? This has not happened yet. He is still no longer in Ur of the Chaldeans. He no longer lives in his past. He has turned his back on that past as God asked him to. And none of us can live in the past anyway. And he has turned towards this future that God has promised, but he lives in the awkward in-between. Not in the past, the land of his fathers, and not in this land of promise. And I am reminded of a story. I'm reminded of a story that Anne-Marie Kennitzer told us about a coworker of hers. A coworker of hers was going on sabbatical, and this man was a planner. And so he was planning a sabbatical. It was still some months away. But he was going to be traveling. And so he had done his homework. He'd made up a spreadsheet, and he had in mind where he would go every day of a long trip, even though that was still several months in the future. And that's pretty good travel planning. Moreover, he had gone on the internet and he had researched hotels, and he knew every night of that trip, still some months away, where he would be staying at which hotel every night. That's pretty good. Moreover, he had gone on the internet and he had found restaurants in every town where he was going to be visiting for every day and every night of that trip, still several months in the future, and knew where he was going to be eating for every meal of that trip. Moreover, he had gone on the internet, he had found menus at those restaurants, and he knew what he would order for every meal of every day and every night and every city, still several months in the future on that trip. And that is pretty impressive planning. And I mentioned that because compared to the planning that God is doing in the story that we get in the Old Testament here today, Anne-Marie's co-worker is a slacker in the planning department. Because God calls Abraham out 24 years previous to this story and says, I will make of you a mighty nation. Come to the land that I will show you. He is now standing in that land, Canaan's land, not yet Israel. That is still in the future. And how far in the future? Let's take a trip. It's still a couple of years till the birth of Isaac, because right after this story, it'd be great if it ended with, and then Sarah becomes pregnant, but that doesn't happen. Or Sarai, not yet Sarah, doesn't yet become pregnant at the end of the story. We're still a couple of years from that. I see, again, that awkward in-between. In fact, they try and force the issue, and he sleeps with her handmaid and has another son, Ishmael. But Ishmael is not the son of promise, not the son that God was talking about. So it's a couple of years, then Isaac is born. And it's a generation between Isaac, and he has two sons, and the younger one is Jacob, and Jacob wrestles with God and gets the nickname Israel, he who wrestles with God. But it's still another generation until Israel has 12 sons. You may remember them. One of them had a brightly colored cloak. Brightly colored coat was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt, sold to the Ishmaelites. Remember the other brother over here? Sold to their descendants. Goes into Egypt because God is preparing a place for his people, this young family of 12 sons and their children, in the time of famine in Egypt. They stay in Egypt for hundreds of years. They become so numerous in Egypt that the Egyptians fear that if they're ever invaded, these Hebrews will align with their enemies and they will be defeated. And so they turn them into slaves. God sends Moses. Moses gets them out. They wander around the desert. You know the story. They wander around the desert for another generation because getting them out of Egypt takes little time. Getting Egypt out of them takes an entire generation. At that point, Israel goes in. Israel, the people, now a nation, goes into Canaan's land, and that becomes Israel. Between that point and the calling of Abraham over here 24 years previous to our story is hundreds of years. So as God tells Abraham to go outside and to look at the stars, and remember, Abraham is a shepherd in Canaan. He is not going outside in Silicon Valley and looking at the stars with all the streetlights around. He is seeing more stars than we would see in the night sky. As God tells Abraham to go outside and look at the stars, God is saying, I have a plan for you. I have a plan that is far beyond your imagination. Look at the stars, Abram. Can you count the stars? so shall your descendants be. And it says that Abraham believed him, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, in our Old Testament, in our New Testament lesson, rather, in Hebrews, we're told that Abraham was seeking out a city whose foundation and builder was God. As he was called out here from Ur of the Chaldeans, and he was pursuing the calling of God, he was looking for something that God was building. And as we're also told in Hebrews, he never gets to see it. He gets to see the birth of his son, but he's 99 when that happens. He doesn't live for those hundreds of years. He lives his life, the entirety of his life, in this in-between. But in this in-between, with faith in a God whose dreams are far beyond his, with faith in a God who says, look at the plans that I am making. Look at the plans that I'm making for you and for the people of God. Now, I mentioned that because I think we as a church at large and we as a church at Bethel have a little bit of the awkward in-between right now ourselves. This is not the first time we have been in situations that feel a little more like, gee, maybe our best days are behind us and I wonder what God is doing in the future, as Abraham no doubt felt. When we first got here in 1984, we were told pretty much that all the best days of Bethel were behind it. There were very few kids in the youth program, very few kids in Sunday school. They remembered when the buildings were full. I think they were when Brad and Janice joined, the two of Joan and I, in a brand new Bible study that Robin was holding. There were 10 of us in the adult Bible study. And the pastor, one of the two pastors, had just been let go, and the youth director had just been let go. And as far as everybody was concerned, the best days of Bethel were behind it. And that may be true. It might be true today. I do not know. We can't live there anyway. Like Abraham, we can't live in the past, and we are called to a future. And we're called by a God who is still working his purposes out in and through his people. We're called by a God who holds out the stars and the heavens as all of the different ideas and all of the different plans for his people. And I believe we still serve a God who is doing that. And as evidence, I want to tell you a story that we heard last week. We met a couple 2 years ago, Malia and Micah Mann, and they were living with the Burkharts at the time, and they were preparing to go on a mission journey to Austria. And they were going to go do ministry in the city of Mauthausen, Austria. And they'd been there for 2 years doing ministry. And they were just back in the Silicon Valley talking to people who had been supporting them for the last couple of years. And they now feel called to another ministry nearby in the city of Salzburg, a ministry that they sort of stumbled into. They went to a conference in Salzburg, and they met a couple from South Africa that's forming a group called Go Salzburg that's doing outreach to the children of Salzburg who are caught up in the scene of the party mile, an area mile long of bars with underage drinking and fighting and directionless lives of the youth of Salzburg. And they felt called to that ministry, but they were still trying to figure out, is that what God was calling them to, or they just find it attractive? And so they're praying about it and thinking about it. And in the process of doing that, their 8-year-old daughter had a dream. And she got up in the morning and she said, I had the funniest dream. I dreamed, I got up in the morning and I went to my school, but it wasn't my school and my friends weren't my friends. They were new friends. And they thought, okay. My impression was they didn't think that much about it until they happened to go to the city where they would live if they went to Salzburg, just outside of Salzburg. And they thought, as long as we're here, we should go check out the school where their daughter would go. And they went to the school, and as they drove up, and some of you are getting ahead of me, she said, that's the school for my dream. That's my school. I believe we worship a God who is still planning, who is still sending dreams, and is still calling his people to a city whose foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And I mean the we by you and I, the we by us as Bethel, the we us as a nation, us as the church at large, are still worshiping a God who has dreams, who sends dreams, who has plans. I think even though we live in the awkward in-between, as Abraham did his entire life, we can, as Abraham did, respond in faith. and respond as Abraham did in belief and follow that God. Amen.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? I mean, you are called by God, and aren't we all praying the big prayer, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? So if we put two and two together, you've got a message to deliver, my friend. Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, art to make, or businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. I use my mic like a machete, so if you don't like to get your toes stepped on or pushed off cliffs to finally jump on in with Jesus, I may be too much for you. But if you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com today.